it's Lainey. That's me. It's the show you're listening to. We're here. I'm so happy that you're here. This week, a ton of stuff is happening. I have a new sponsor, and it's Sausage. Do you guys know about Sausage? You're gonna. I'm gonna talk about it constantly. In addition to the new sponsor, I'm going to talk about my week. I'm gonna talk a lot about the state of affairs in this country, as well as, I guess, rape, and then also how my mom wants me to get married. I definitely recommend that everybody joins my wolf pack and watches The Great British Baking Show. Also, I answer a motherfucking question. You know what? Let's do this shit. Hello, my name is Lainey Leonards, and I am here today to remind you that Sausage exists. Do you love a scramble of organ meats shoved into some sort of intestinal casing? Then congratulations! Sausage exists! You can use this meat mush to celebrate national holidays or just to jazz up your eggs. Bangers and mash, that's a thing people have. You could eat that if you're a filthy Irish person. I'm just kidding, that's a joke. My best friend is Irish, and I've been there with my grandma. It was very nice. Back to the advertisement. I hope they don't drop us now. You can use this meat mush to celebrate national holidays or just to jag up. You want to jag up your eggs, you fucking jagweed? You're a fucking narc, Aaron. Okay. You know what? You can use it for a lot of shit. So give it up for Sausage, the only exotic food alternative proven to make your penis work good. You're welcome. Thank you so much. Many thanks to Sausage for sponsoring me personally, just in my everyday life, and mostly it's pretty much... That's my dating advice. Sausage. Eat it. Figure your shit out. All right, now let's do this. Okay, well, this is Lainey. How's it going this week, folks? People? How are you doing? All right, well, you didn't answer, so now I'll talk about me. I feel like a big thing that's happening this week is people are real... upset about how much politicians are raping. Would you say that's accurate? Yeah. And I'd say it's gotten to a level so severe that even my mother can't deny the strident feminism of me and my sisters. So it is freaking people out. It is making people lose their minds. They are losing their shit. Honestly, I do not follow politics very closely because I'm so terrified of them, which... it's hard to find a balance because I'm like, how can I be informed without being sad? And I can't figure it out because I still haven't admitted that our president is the person that it is. I think that we're living in a Ziggy cartoon, and this is a very dark, dark joke. And we're on an episode of The Apprentice, and you know who's fired? Mr. Guy, the fucking dude in the desk, the president one. See, I can't even say it. I don't want to say his name because I don't... I know it's cheesy, but people are like, not my president. But I'm like, literally, I just in my mind have not acknowledged that you exist as any sort of authority because you're just he's rapey. And I'm sorry I keep yelling, I guess, trigger warning. I'm sorry I keep yelling that, but it's just very specifically true. And also, I'm sick of people not talking about it. And people do talk about it, but I'm just saying I mention rape a lot because I think people should be able to talk about it and it should be normalized and you should be able to figure out how to report it when it happens to you, because the thing that is driving me fucking nuts, fucking absolutely bonkers and filled with rage is all these people who are like, you know, with Bill Cosby, with, you know, Kavanaugh, with Donald Trump, whoever, they're always saying, and it's always some fucking white man saying, oh, yeah, when people get sexually assaulted, they usually wait 30 years and then report it to a senator or whatever. And it's like, suck my fucking dick. You're right. They usually don't report it at all. Like, are you fucking kidding me? The fact that you cannot see the inequity in the system that exists and is an obstacle to both reporting comfort, you know, offering resources to people who have suffered through this. It's bullshit. Like, you don't, okay, first of all, you're a man. So when a woman laughs at you, you think about murdering her. So maybe, you know, you shouldn't be judging other people for how difficult it is for them to reach out to a bunch of fucking white guys with guns in one building, you jag. Like, are you fucking kidding me? God. I don't even know what to say about it anymore because it's just so obvious. It is just so obvious. And it's like, you know, people get upset about the country's divided. And it's hard for me because the thing is, okay, maybe open communication is the way to learn about one another and compromise, I suppose. But also, I don't want to compromise. I don't want to. I think black people should stop getting killed. People of color in general. I think people treat women like shit, and everybody should know that, acknowledge it, and every man should have to go live in a fucking dog cage for a while. And I mean, you know, it's just so crazy. I have got an idea, though. I solved it. Here is my idea, is that instead of having boyfriends, we all just get really protective dogs that protect us from the men. You know, they like bark and it's like a wolf. Wouldn't that be cool if I had like a wolf? It's like a familiar, you know, like a witch has. So it's just a wolf and it's like, oh, if you say something horrible and sexist and racist and if you don't understand that sexual assault is difficult to report for a variety of reasons that the entire system is stacked against you, then my wolf will attack you. It's that simple. If you're going to be nuts, I will fucking too. My wolf doesn't even wear a collar. You know why? It wears earrings because it's in a fucking gang of wolves. They call it a pack. I call it a gang. Chicago Wolves. That's what I'm doing. And I'm going to name the program and I'm going to name it Wolves for Women. And it's going to, the four is going to be a number four. And then the wolves is going to have a Z. No, maybe scratch that. I don't like that. But the wolves will be impressive. And then the other thing is that you could take dope thirst trap photos of yourself with the wolf. Or maybe not thirst trap, maybe like revolution photos. So you could get like a, you know, like an outfit that like the lady, wasn't there a lady president in that one? What was it called? Oh my God. The Hunger Games? No, not the Hunger Games. The other one. Insurgent, Divergent, all of those. The lady in that, and I don't remember who plays her. It's some lady. Okay, you'll figure it out. She always wears like a modern pantsuit cape or something. Like it's structured yet drapey, so you have elegance and also power, which is what I like in an outfit. I want, as I have said before, a completely sequined jumpsuit with maybe shoulder pads and a little cape on it. I don't think it's that difficult to find that. So we are all going to dress in those outfits. We're going to wear powerful lipstick. We're going to pose with our wolves and we're going to get our shit together and we're going to win. Go team. Yeah. Chest bump. Huh?
Kate Winslet.
I knew it was a weird choice. Yeah, I know who she is. I just keep forgetting. But I think they put her in cool outfits. I think that's what I'm thinking of. Okay, you get the idea. So, you know what? I don't know if we're at a tipping point. I haven't been alive for all of history. I mean, sometimes people are coming up to me, you know, and saying, I mean, this is happening to everybody, but like the world is falling apart. Everything that's happening right now, it's crazy. Like life is a nightmare. And I'm like, don't you think this is true at every other point in history? You know, if you lived in a different, you know, because people talk about it like specifically this point in history. And yes, we're at a turning point, but wasn't every point a turning point? You know what I mean? Like if you were alive during the civil rights movement, if you were alive during women winning the right to vote, if you were alive in the 50s, your husband just beat you. You know what I'm talking about? Just a punch in the face. But you cranked out babies and guess what? You could have cigarettes while you were pregnant still. So it was still cool then. You know, Mad Men style. You know how it is so crazy. Is this common knowledge? So most people know this, I think, but when cigarettes started, they were obviously, okay, everybody knows this. When cigarettes started existing, doctors were like telling you they were good for you. They were like, smoke them. They're wonderful. The man who's the father of modern advertising, which is based on the tenets of social psychology. And I can't remember his name, but I read a book by him, maybe about him. I don't know. Look it up. And he used the ballet to advertise cigarettes. So he had all these ballerinas smoking, which is those poor women, you know, they're balancing on the tips of their toes on blocks of wood. And I can tell you from experience that makes your toes bleed like a lot. My toes still click every time I walk. Like every time I take a step, the second toe on my left foot clicks. And I would assume it's probably from being on point. But those people were smoking cigarettes. So that's pretty cool. They were also in a chain gang. But they advertised them as, you know, don't grab a sweet, grab a cigarette. It was supposed to be like a dessert replacement to keep your waistline small. And then everybody died of emphysema. So all I'm saying is don't trust men selling you things. If a woman sells you things, I don't know about that. If you knew her beforehand, then that's fine. Don't let anybody sell you anything. Forage, go into the forest, become a hunter-gatherer, figure it out, prehistoric, live in a cave, get your shit together. I don't know, fuck anyone. Who cares? Okay. So that's what's going on. The ripples have become so undeniable that I think even, and I'm trying to describe the way that my mom thinks about things because she is alarmed and talking to me about it. And I don't want to say that she doesn't believe in the same things I believe, but there's definitely a difference. Like my sisters and I are, I wonder what kind of feminist you would call it. Like, here, let me make up a term for what we are. It's like super hot white girl daddy issues feminist. Does that make sense? And yes, I'm telling you I'm super hot, and I just wanted you to have that information. You can't see my face right now, and I want you to know that it looks good. So just dream about that. I'm wearing so much makeup. I'm not. You can see all my blemishes. But you know what? That's a power move because I'm saying to the man, I don't have to wear makeup if I don't want to because my teeth are so strong, I can rip your dick off. Some people don't like it when I say that, Aaron. Does that bother you when I say that I could rip dicks off? No, I know. I didn't think so. I didn't think it would bother you. Most people, it doesn't bother. But at a certain point, I realize I talk about it a lot. And maybe that is putting a damper on my dating life. You know, you got to figure out some way to be halfway between Joan of Arc and Carrie from Sex and the City. That's the real goal. It's like, what is in between? Like, I want to be really good at archery and die in a fucking fire and murder everyone for the God, I guess. I don't know, you know. And, but you also want to have cute shoes. And, but also you're like, oh my God, maybe I could have a boyfriend. Maybe I could have one. And you can't give up that dream. Life is a nightmare. We're stuck. So you got to figure out how to be halfway in between. Right now I've got a lot of shit going on. So I would describe, this is how I would describe myself. Listen, I'm a Pisces. Oh no, I'm sorry. I was talking about my mom. Okay. So, but what I was trying to get across by describing the brand of feminism that my sisters and I experience, it's mostly man-hating. A lot of it, and I don't want to say mostly, but a lot of it, it's, you know, hating the whole group because, man, they have really teamed up. You know what I'm saying? It is highly institutionalized, and the only way to break that down is to not believe in the institution, which thereby makes you seem a little bit crazy because people are like, oh my God, you don't believe in the police? And it's like, fucking no. Or you don't believe in the president? No, obviously not. You know, like, you don't believe in this team of white men in a building together who vote on shit? No, because who even gave them that building? Me and my gals go out to the forest, we light a fire, we could put pentagrams everywhere, we pray to the moon, and we howl a little bit, we bring our wolves, and we get naked. You know what I'm saying? And then we all menstruate, so suck my dick, because we are also voting, so why isn't our vote counting? Also, I'm white, too, so maybe don't listen to half of the stuff I say, you know, or 30% or something. I don't know. I just am aware that I have a lot of blind spots being a straight person, being a person who is, and I'm not white. I'm super white. I'm like crazy white. I'm like mashed potatoes shoved into a pair of stockings white. You know, like I just look, and I'm from Minnesota, and I am starting to realize how intense that is because, oh boy, it is oofta, you know, it is subtle, but, and I'm pretty loud for Minnesota, you know, it was quite something. So I guess what I'm saying is, the only men who can handle me are people who don't mind yelling. And the white ones generally mind it. Maybe not the white ones. Maybe just the ones from Minnesota. I don't know. It depends. But the yelling happens because you got to have feelings, you know? And you got to express them. What are you going to do? Not express them? Keep them inside you? Let them rot until they turn into a mold that festers and becomes cancer? Because that's what that is. Women not yelling. That's what breast cancer is. It's women who haven't gotten to yell. So smoke your cigarettes while you're pregnant and yell a bunch and you're going to be great. All right. Well, I guess I'll give you Oh my gosh. I still haven't finished the thing about my mom. Okay. So my mom sees things differently than us. She doesn't like the anger. She doesn't like that, you know, my sister will say like all men suck or all men do this and something like that. And the thing about it is that it's, I think it's more an indicator of the community in general, because a lot of the time groupthink can ruin things. So like, you know, fraternities. I don't know. It's hard to have a he's one of the good ones thing about men and while remaining... It's hard to digest the group of men as a whole in terms of the power dynamics alongside the personal relationships that you have with human beings who are maybe kind or have had different experiences or, you know, people that are close to you, things like that. So it's like you want to value the human being, but you also want to curse their existence. So I don't know how to meet in the middle for that. And that's what the struggle is, because, you know, it's hard to figure out. And a lot of the times, and here's the thing, I'm too trusting with men that I date. So a lot of the times I trust them and then they screw me over. And it's like, well, I didn't see that coming, but it's because I trusted you. So my B, you know what I mean? I should have assumed you were a disgusting monster. And now I will chew your dick off. It's until you have a nub. Okay. My wolf will do it. Ooh, I'll train my wolf to do it. Yes. And then that doubles as dinner. Yes. Wolf dick dinner. Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay. Also, just a reminder, you can buy sausage at your local grocery store. Go buy. Swing by and pick up some sausage today. You know why? Because you are a person. So my mother disapproves of the anger inherent in our relationship to men. And she's weird because sometimes she tells me my standards are too high when it's really the opposite. I keep, you know, if somebody really tries to date me, I'm like, oh, well, they must want to date me. And so they're great. Okay, we'll do it. But one time a guy cried on our first date. Like, I had a first date from Tinder and he got really drunk and he started telling me that he knew what everybody in the world was going to do. Like he could tell from their personalities. And to be fair, I did also get hammered and take him to a bar and flip him over my back. And I will explain this. Yeah, I know it's confusing. This is what happened is, you know, I tap danced for a lot of years and I know how to do tricks. And me and my sister did a lot of different trick swing dancing moves. And she's now taller than me, but she used to be smaller than me. So I always had to be the man because I was sturdy and I could flip her around. And she was, you know, lighter than me and smaller. And I was like, I want to flip. But also flipping is kind of scary. But anyway, you stand back to back, you link your arms together. You know what I'm talking about? Like when you do those trust exercises and you have to stand up from the floor. Right? So you're back to back, you link your arms together at the elbows. And then what you do is you just kind of squat and then you take your sister and you just flip her over your back, you know? And then she lands on her feet facing you and you're like, yas, bitch. And she's like, we did it. We did it. And then you do swing dancing. And then she's like, why don't you spot me while I do handstands? And you're like, I'm bored. I'm leaving. And then she runs at you and she tries to jump on you. And then you're like, I'm not going to catch you. And she's like, you're going to catch me. And you're like, I'm not going to catch you. I'm done. And then she runs at you and tries to jump on you. And then you don't catch her. And she's like, why didn't you catch me? And you're like, because I told you I'm done with this. And you leave. So, you know, that thing where you can flip your sister over your back. So this guy was kind of small. Usually also, this is weird, but usually, let's see, probably every man I've dated, I have lifted. You know, at some point I was just like, I could lift you, bro. And they're like, okay. And I'm like, I'm serious. And they're like, sure. And I'm like, I could fucking lift you off of the ground. And they're like, all right, whatever. And then I'm like, I'm going to show you. And they're like, what? And some of them have been very large and fat. And that's impressive. So I have really strong thighs is my point. Just don't come near my thighs because they, man, I wish all of me was as strong as my thighs because dude, whew, they're strong. They're very strong. I don't even know how to describe how strong. It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger if he wasn't a little bitch, you know? It's like that strong. So I went on this first date. It was going well for a while. He was cute. We were having fun. We were having a couple drinks. But then he was smaller than me. And at the time, I was drinking a lot so I could hold my liquor, like a lot. And he got hammered. And so we went to another bar and there was music playing. So we were doing a little dancing, just la, la, la. And by we were doing a little dancing, what I mean is there was an empty room and he and I were dancing and nobody else was. And I was like, you want me to flip you over my back? And he was like, okay. And so I did it. And then that was that. And then after that, he started saying crazy shit and crying. And he tried to... And they were separate. They weren't related. I'm just saying it was kind of a weird evening, you know? Like, what I'm trying to say is, like, I'm at fault also. I was getting a little wild, you know? But I'm not at fault for him being super weird, because then I had to trick him out of the building, because I had told him before then, like, hey, I'll have to leave at this time because I have to get up in the morning to go to work, you know? So that'll be the end, whatever. You know, I had pre-qualified that. And So he got drunk. He started telling me he could tell what everybody in the world was going to do. Like, he knew what their personalities were and what was going to happen. Like, he knew how people worked and that we were connecting or something. I don't know. And then he started begging me to go home with me. And I was like, oh no, I have to, you know, work in the morning. Like, no, no thanks. Like, you know, I said no several times. And then he started crying. And so then I told him, okay, well, I'm leaving now. And we walked outside and I was like, okay, which way are you going? That way. And I was like, okay, bye. And I pretended to walk and he stumbled off drunk in that direction. And on one hand, I was concerned about his safety. And I kind of was like, does he have any friends I could call to be like, hey, just make sure he gets home okay. And on the other hand, I was like, you know what? I was kind of worried about my own safety. So I guess I'm going to focus on that because I don't really know what to do in this situation. And he started crying. So I was like, which way are you going? Oh my God, crazy. I'm going the opposite way. Okay, bye. And he stumbled off and I pretended to walk the other way and then turned around and walked back into the bar and hung out with my friends. So honestly, victory in the end. Okay. All right. So let me wrap up what I'm saying about my mom. She has a different, so she worries that we're too hard on men and therefore we'll never have boyfriends and get married. But I would contend. So one time I went on that date and she, like I said before, has told me my standards are too high. And she was like, and I told her, I'm not going. And she goes, how was the date? Like, why don't you see that guy again? And I was like, well, he cried on the first date and he just had a lot going on. Like, I don't think he was, you know, it was weird. It wasn't stable. And she was like, well, essentially, she was like, you have depression too, so you should be understanding of those things. And I was like, no, because I don't need double of that. Like, I can't handle his shit. That's his fucking job. I can't deal with it. If you cry on the first date, like, you're not doing well. You know, you're not ready for a relationship. And she was trying to contend that I should. That's how thirsty she is for us to get married. She was like, I don't know, just go see him. And I was like, no, that's not a good one. You know, like, I'm not, maybe he's good at other times, but not right now. Like, no. And just yesterday, she told me, her best friend that she's had for a long time, you know, family friends, she has kids that are our age. And those kids, the girls still have their boyfriends from college. And my mom was like, oh, I did admit to my therapist that I'm jealous that of her daughters getting married. And I was like, I thought that was pretty hilarious because I was like, oh my God, you're jealous of other people's children getting married? And she was like, I'm jealous that they found their husbands when they were in college. And I'm like, dude, hold up. Hold up for a hot second. First of all, if I had married anybody from my college, it would have been a hot mess. I went to a liberal arts college. We were all figuring our shit out, you know? A lot of us were half gay or gay. And, you know, a lot of them went camping and dumpster diving or did art. And that's great. It's my people. I love it. That's me. But it was not marrying time. There was no marriage auction at the liberal arts college. You know what I'm saying? Like, there were a lot of bongo drums playing when Obama was elected. People were not in the market to get married intentionally, specifically there. That was not a location to attend in order to attain your MRS degree, which I would call hell. And so I was like, first of all, we're not, you know, we're like creative people. We're around other creative people. It's wild. It's fun. These are some of my closest friends, like amazing, beautiful people, but it's not, they weren't eligible is what I'm saying. Also, we were in college, so all the dudes sucked. There were way more women than dudes. They were a hot mess. They were running around fucking everybody except for me. I wasn't getting fucked. That's my cross to bear. But I was also kind of weird about it. So I was like, why would you want me to marry somebody from college, like, if there weren't any fun ones there? Also, okay, these gals have their boyfriend from college that now they're going to stay with. Okay, cool. Well, how long are they going to stay married? You know, like, okay, cool. Well, it sounds like they're staying together out of a sense of obligation that then will turn into a lifelong commitment based on the history of togetherness. So it could go either way. It's not, I guess what I'm saying, and they could be wildly in love and amazing and have an amazing relationship. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that she sees marriage as some sort of success and finish line. And I am bewildered by that. I'm befuddled because I'm like, why would you want that at the expense of somebody supporting you emotionally? So anyway, I guess my mom wants me to get married. So I'm now taking applications. Send me your application. I would like you to include your work history as well as any special skills you have. Include the zany ones. Can you juggle? Do you know how to do magic? Do you own a tiger? Do you wear a hat? Like, what's your thing? That's your thing, Aaron. You wear a hat, right? You have a special hat. That's your thing. And you told me that's your thing. And I know it. And that's a fun thing to have. And you know what? It's probably better than owning a tiger because that would be a lot of fucking work. So, Siegfried and Roy ass danger situation, you know? Anyway, so I guess my mom wants to get married. And the issue with that is that my state of being at the time is that I'm talking to somebody and I'm not supposed to, or maybe not. And so I'm just trying to think of it like, I am making a friend. I will get to know this person. Then maybe in months from now, when I am emotionally stable, we will see what happens. That's how I'm trying to take it, because I have a lot of trouble with ambiguity. I don't like things that don't have labels, so I immediately demand to know what it is, you know? I'm like, okay, somebody like flirts with me twice, and I'm like, are we dating now? Are you my husband yet? Which is a bad habit, and it's out of panic and anxiety, but I'm trying to learn to get better with ambiguity. So, but the thing about it right now is that I'm kind of like, you know, when you buy or when you get like a new kitten and you bring it home, and the first time you bring it home, it maybe runs and hides under a couch for like 5 days, and then it'll come out maybe to, so you have to put the food under the couch, and then maybe you start moving the food out a little bit and it starts kind of coming out and running back under. And then, you know, 3 years down the line, it's snuggling with you and it trots around and follows you around the kitchen. You know, that's me. That's me. I'm under the couch. I'm a new tiny baby kitten, and you know, because I'm really, really cute and I'm under there. So the thing is, if anything happens, I'm going to get spooked. I'm going to run back under the couch and I'm going to yell about rape. That's just what I'm going to do. So that's where I'm at. You know what? So we are going to be doing the motherfucking question coming up. So also in this coming week, if you have any dating advice for me, why don't you send that over? I want to hear your tidbits. And so then I can read your bits. That would be exciting. I could compile a little tome of, so send maybe just like a couple sentences or something, like just a brief bullet point. Like, what's your best dating advice that you have? And then I'm going to put it in a Bible and I'm going to call it the Dating Bible. And then I'm going to burn it to piss off religious people. Just kidding. It's, you can have a Bible. That's great. God love you, you know, as long as you don't do crazy mean things. So my mom wants me to get married. I'm taking applications. Also send me your dating advice. Also, I would recommend that you watch The Great British Baking Show. I have a lot of thoughts on it, but it is the most calming, uplifting show of friendship and happiness on television. So just a recommendation there. I guess now we should probably move on to the motherfucking question. How's that sound, Aaron? Ding. All right. Aaron says yes. Here, let me ask again. How's that sound, Aaron? Ding! Da, da, da. He did jazz to answer. It is time for the motherfucking question. Let's ask it, let's answer it, and let's hear what's happening. Okay, this week, here is the question. Dear Lainey, what do you do to stop constantly thinking about the one person out of all the people you know who doesn't like you? That's an excellent question. I love this question because it's about interpersonal relationships and neuroses. You know, it took me a while to think of this, but I actually do have one of these because, you know, I do fear that everybody hates me and that is part of depression. So that was a big deal for me for a long time. But I do have a person like this. Their name is Bob. I changed the name. Okay. The name is Bob. I went to college with this person, and they're funny. They're interesting. We have a lot of stuff in common, but they also are perhaps insecure and make mean jokes at others' expense when that comes out. And the thing about it is that, I mean, like you're describing, we have all these mutual friends, you know? So it's like we have a whole community of people that we know. And this person just doesn't like me. And I started in college, I accidentally insulted him at one point. I think I don't even remember. I said something about his dick being small or something. I'm not sure. I said something sassy to him. And I think I like missent a text about him to him, which is the worst mistake. But it wasn't that bad. It was just like kind of bad. It was like, I think I said sitting next to Bob is like sitting next to a horny kindergartner. So what level of bad would you say that is out of 10? I would say 6. Would you say 6? Do you agree with that, Aaron? What number would you give it? 6? Okay. Yeah, because it's nothing. It's a little bit generic. It's insulting, but it's also a little bit jokey. And we were working together and he, you know, was really, really fidgety. So whatever. But I apologized for that. And this was, what, 8 years ago. But this person is still in my community because we have all these shared friends. We have, you know, all these shared acquaintances from college. And but for some reason, once we graduated, he started being really mean to me. And the thing about it is that he is close with my best friend, who also went to college with us. So they're close. And so sometimes she'll tell him, dude, that's not cool. You were being super mean to Lainey. And he'll be like, I know, which is crazy because then you're at that point where it's like, okay, I get that you stood up for me, but also you're still hanging out with this person. And that's very rude. Like, what the fuck is their deal? Why are they, you know? And the thing that's strange is that it did start, I think, I would try to talk about common interests we had. So like he used to do improv and is very funny and knows, you know, kind of about comedy. So I would try to talk about that to connect. And I think that made it worse because it seems like he was jealous of me performing and that made him feel insecure and that has never ended. So I think honestly that maybe he feels like he could do it, but he's never done it, which is the difference between doing a thing and not doing a thing is doing it, you know? Which leads into one of my main philosophies on life, which is, if you complete something 100%, you are already in the 90th percentile for that thing. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people will tell me, you know, I'm horrible at art or like I can't do this or I could never speak in public. And it's like if you literally just do it, no matter how shitty it is, you're already ahead of 90% of the people because the thing about art is that your fear gets in the way. And that's the thing about everything in life. Your fear gets in the way and you have to conquer it in order to proceed. So instead of just giving up when things get hard, if you finish it, which is really, really difficult, then you're already, it's already a victory, you know, and it can only go up from there. You get better at it. So that's important. But anyway, so this person doesn't like me. So what do I do about it? Well, I guess I have worked out a system where I just don't talk to him very much. I guess I just ignore it because, and I don't know. I'm sure there are probably a lot of people that don't like me, but I think that I'm really cool. And, you know, the people that I love think that I'm super cool. So maybe that's part of why I love them. Probably. I mean, it's an exchange. Your relationships, you know, are an exchange. But when I'm having a good day, and I have a lot of bad days where the entire day, and this has been happening a lot of days of this month where I just think about how alone I am and I don't have anybody to contact about it. But it's because I don't want to be a burden to my friends. And I know cognitively, I actually have those friends. Like I have two sisters that I'm very close with. I can talk to my mom. I can talk to my best friend. I can reach out to some of my other friends. But I guess on a good day, I just ignore the fuck out of that bitch because you know what? He doesn't have a wolf and mine is protecting me. So get yourself a wolf. Come over to Wolves for Women where we only serve sausage for breakfast. Yes. Follow me on Instagram at ITLAINIE. Once again, that's ITLAINIE. That's where you can find all my information, my upcoming shows. You can see all of my art, and you can usually sometimes see my boobs. So not all of them, though. Just you can see them in an outfit, and my outfit's really cute, so it could give you some inspiration. You're probably a lady. I don't know. It's fine. Follow me on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, itlainie, ITLAINIE. These are the shows that I have coming up. On Saturday, the 6th of October, I'm going to be at the Laugh Factory. On Monday, the 8th, I will be at the Strange Hour performing comedy. On Sunday, the 14th, I'll be at the Laugh Factory. Tuesday, the 16th, also be at the Laugh Factory. And on Saturday, the 27th of October, I will be at the Comedy Bar at 11 p.m. hosting the Big Sexy Show, which is fantastic. It is burlesque. And any of these shows, I can get you free tickets. So just follow me and hit me up on Instagram or Twitter if you want to get some of those free tickets and see me in person. You know, I'll be exhausted, I'll be happy, and I will be maybe interested in talking to you. But just remember, I love you deeply. Get a wolf. Ow, ow, ow! Angry wolf! Arrgh!